Brother, you've learned well. You're expert at Wu-Tang.
Yule, you had to suffer a lot. Otherwise, you'd never have mastered Qin Kang and the Wu-Tang sword skill.
Welcome to the Alpha Male Buddhist from Brooklyn podcast. I'm your host, Miguel. I like to cover topics from ancient history, great leaders and generals from the past, and I also like to talk about self-realization, truth, critical thinking, and strategic spirituality. Outside the box, nonconformist. I'm here to shatter the myths of the mainstream media and the beta sheeple narrative. Welcome to the Alpha Male Buddhist from Brooklyn podcast. My email address is alphamalebuddhist@gmail.com. Let's start the show. Welcome back to episode 10 of the Alpha Male Buddhist from Brooklyn podcast. I'm your host, Miguel, and couple of topics I want to bring up today. As I do, I try to keep it, you know, I don't know what I closed the last episode with. I think I spoke about how hard it was to get on iTunes. I'm still waiting on that. And how to keep your mind flexible when you're trying to deal with technical stuff or anything really. Flexibility is really living in life, and stiffness is death, you know, like old. It says it in the Tao. Baby is flexible, new, you know. We spoke about flat earth a little bit. But my intro with the Gongas, see if you guys like that. That one won't go, or should I switch it up? That's where we closed with the last episode. No. So, yeah, man, it's important, really, really important to learn about the world. Don't be a townie where you just know about where you grew up and shit. I mean, if that's your situation, that's fine, but you got the internet, dude. You look up a lot of stuff. I used to read the encyclopedia for fun. Not the whole thing, but a lot of it. Just to flip through and read a lot of it. If you can travel, do so, man. It's important. Not like I said, travel on the internet. You get on YouTube and start surfing YouTube. You can see a lot of different cultures and different things, technologies, and people that are back old technology and future technology, and everything's pretty cool. Also like to listen to Terrence McKenna. Haven't listened to him in a while, but dude's profound. And one of the things he says is culture is your operating system, which is very true, man. Culture is your operating system. Recognizing opportunity around you. Recognizing and being ready for opportunity around you. That's really important. You don't necessarily have to be invested in this opportunity and the things going around, but be aware. Because if you make a mental effort to look at different things that you want to take a chance in, even though you're not invested in it, but you look at it as if you are, when you're ready to invest, then it's going to be a benefit because you feel like you're invested. So, I don't know. Does that make sense? Bitcoin's a scam. Just don't touch it. And it consumes a lot of energy. Don't touch Bitcoin, man. Sell that shit. Don't touch it. Watch documentaries about the world. I love, like, ancient Rome, Egypt, Greece, Carthage. Great generals like Hannibal, Scipio Africanus. You know, Hannibal, that dude with the elephants that went over the Alps. It was amazing, man. Amazing dude. Bushido. You know, that's Japanese culture, samurai culture.
into a lot of that stuff. But yeah, back on McKenna, man. I remember when I first listened to him back, I don't know, 20 years ago? Maybe? 15 years ago. But just his way of thinking and a few of the things that he said, man, just kind of blew me away. You know, he was very, very well read. So he dropped these references on you, like the archaic revival type shit. Like authors, like off the wall authors, great authors, but I'm just saying Huxley and shit like that. You know, like Aldous Huxley, Brave New World. You know. Yeah, but there's nothing worse than a person that doesn't know about, or only knows about where they're from. You should have an idea, like African tribes live and how the samurai lived and how, you know, just general, you know, the world, how the world works and how people are, and, you know, get an idea, relative, you know, like there's two ways of looking at things. When you take, I'm not a big proponent of college at all, but if I remember back in the day when it wasn't so expensive, there was, you know, I took anthropology. And in anthropology, there's two schools of thought. One is ethnocentric and the other is culturally relative. And both are interesting. You know, when you take an ethnocentric view, you're looking at that culture through the lens of your own culture, your ethnocentric. When you're culturally relative, you look at that culture and look at what's different about their culture that may cause them to have different priorities and behaviors and, you know, disciplines. So it's that ethnocentric and culturally relative view is interesting, you know, it is. You should always try to be, I'm guessing, a little bit more culturally relative and just see how things are. Yeah, and then again, back to that recognizing opportunity. Yeah, I'm going back and forth with notes, that way I stay focused. The recognizing opportunity part of it is, it's not always obvious opportunity. It's something that, as a matter of fact, to be honest with you, like a really good opportunity, it's not going to stand up and yell at you and say, hey, I'm a great opportunity. You'll see it, it'll be there, like anything else. Tucked away with, you know, scotch tape and staples and shit in a glass case and empty Red Bull. You'll see that opportunity is going to be there if you're able to recognize it. A quick analogy, it's like going through the flea market, you know. I walk through the flea market with my brother, got a couple of brothers, and walking through the flea market. And I'm just pinging stuff. I'm just seeing, like, Potbelly stole for $80 over here, like, legit. Spotting really nice stuff. And, like, my brother sees a couple of things, but you gotta be aware and looking around at what you're doing, you know? Like, there's opportunity all around, man. Whether it's big or small, you gotta keep that muscle strong, man. That, like, they call it now the hustle. That, to me, that's kind of like, I guess, I don't know, the hustle. I was hustling when I was shit. When I was 9, I was shining shoes on the street. Not all the time, you know, but I would grab my shoe box, my shine box, as they say, get out there on a Saturday morning in front of the courts on Camden Plaza in Brooklyn and shine shoes. And after that, I would sell newspapers, the Daily News, door-to-door in the projects over there in Wyckoff Garden, door-to-door. Made a little money, young age, 9, 10, 11. Made a little money. And got used to it, liked the feeling of it. Not love the money, but love the feeling of being able to be productive. And it stuck with me. And I started cleaning people's yards, stuff like that, knocking on doors, shoveling snow, working construction when I was like 15, 16. Had a crew under me, a couple of people working. But it was kind of cool, man. That was different. That was definitely different. I learned a lot. We're coming up on 10 minutes here. I try to keep it not too long. Yes, we spoke about Bushido. Bushido, from a culture that, what I could explain, it's important to understand. You know, you read a lot of kind of philosophies. They're beautiful, and they explain a lot of different concepts and ideas. But Bushido, where it comes from, that samurai culture, there's no margin of error there. It's life and death. So whatever you believe in better be hard clad. Better be something that's going to be able to get you through what you need to get through, and no bullshit. So that Bushido samurai and that Ichi school, Book of Five Rings, legit. If you read it, it's very tight. It's just concise and, you know, it's direct to the point and speaks to you and is eternal. But anyway, I'm blabbering here. Appreciate your time. Again, your email, the alphamaleBuddhist@gmail.com. Namaste.